It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever. Yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
What do you plan to do after the All-Star game to get better?
Buy you a new jacket.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. The show is also available as a podcast, and it's also available through iTunes. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Behind the board... I can't believe you didn't put whore-awful into that segment.
It's horrible. It's whore-awful.
It's whore-awful. The man who loves Shaquille O'Neal philosophy just as much as I do, Kobe yep. Slagle. Fresh from the Mark Broussard concert last night
right.
at the Vogue. Did you have a good time?
Oh, fantastic time.
Good, good. Mm-hmm. You brought the maturity level up with your presence. You know that. And thank you for not being the guy that calls me at midnight and so I can hear the concert.
No.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
Nope.
And you know who we're talking about, so. Sitting in with me, one of the gentlemen from the Film Me app, Joe Shearer, who brought me a piece of Detroit memorabilia. Well, not for me. He wore it in my honor. Want to share, everybody, what you're wearing?
Absolutely. It's my my very wonderful Christmas present from this year from my mother. It's
Mother got you this.
Omni Consumer Products t-shirt. Out of Detroit, Michigan, that's OCP for you RoboCop fans.
Yes, because apparently a RoboCop statue is going to happen. Probably the most ridiculous statue since Sylvester Stallone mm-hmm. and his statue went up in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And that's going to help save Detroit. Yeah. I'm so pleased. Yeah. So
I hear the gun will actually fire. So he can take out bad guys even as he's standing there.
Wow, that's great. You know, I think Joe Dumars should probably draft RoboCop. And then they would have beat the Pacers by 20.
I think he actually did that one.
They're sitting in eighth right now.
They are sitting in eighth. Yeah, the Pistons beat Hickory High, but they're still ranked 11th. So I guess we'll move on. Yeah, because otherwise I'll have to give you 3 seconds. All right. Opening in theaters today. You know what? No, we're gonna shift gears a little bit. You don't even have a set list, so it's okay, Kobe. But opening in a theater today mm-hmm. is the Academy Award nominated films, the short films, live action and animated. Now mm-hmm. I believe it's two separate features. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. Go check these out. And then, yeah. This is what we have going on. For the live-action films, we have The Confession from the UK, and this is two boys that are worried about – one in particular who's worried about if he's going to have anything to confess or not. He will. And then there's one from Ireland called The Crush on what happens when the young boy at school has a crush on his teacher and then he finds out she's engaged. This is kind of a – it's not that kind of boy fantasy, but it is that kind of. I think anybody who's ever had a crush on a teacher, whether you're a boy or a girl, you'll appreciate this.
We'll talk more about a similar topic later in a different movie we're going to discuss.
Okay, cool. One that we have seen before, God of Love, which was Absolutely. At the IIIF, I believe,
and Heartland as well.
And Heartland. Okay, yep. So now they have an Oscar mm-hmm. not under their belt as well. Pardon my Yeah, Naui, which is an African film, also very, very good. And Wish 143, which is about a 15-year-old who's dying of cancer and his one wish to the Wish Make-A-Wish Foundation to get some.
Oh.
Don't show the kids that one. So, and also the animated films, Madagascar. No, not the bad zoo movie.
No,
Madagascar. That's right. It's Carrot du Voyage. Day and Night, which is, of course, the film that came before Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
The Gruffalo, which features the voices of Tom Wilkinson, Helena Bonham Carter, John Hurt, and others. Let's Pollute, a six-minute, our buddy Ed kind of summed it up quickly.
Yeah.
The satiric ode, Pollution is too smug for my taste. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Kind of beat you over the head. And then The Lost Thing, which is, well, it's hard to, I think I'll reveal my picks next week since it's Oscar week. But if anything else, folks, this is an opportunity, unless you saw God of Love and unless you saw Toy Story 3, these are films you know nothing about. My daughter knew nothing about these films as we watched them at home. She thought the live-action films were a little dark in tone, and she really, really enjoyed the animated features, as did I. So take a chance on films you've not seen before, and they're little short films, so it's something that doesn't come around every day. It comes once a year. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm grateful that Indianapolis is now in the market to get the animated short films. Mm-hmm. And just another example that this will keep me from having to watch Big Mamas 3 or whatever the hell it's called. I forget. So anyway, that is in theaters. Well, we're checking out. Mm-hmm. Also in theaters is, if you've read The Onion, it's been plastered all over their screens all damn week. It's Cedar Rapids. It's a new comedy with Ed Helms. Yes, the toothless guy from The Hangover finally gets his own film, although he's got good company. He's got John C. Reilly, mm-hmm. Anne Heche, and Sigourney Weaver, and a bunch of other funny people you've seen where they all appear in similar TV shows doing similar cameos and whatever. Here's some audio.
You were what, 16? And I'm thinking, here's a kid who's going to go places, and then somehow you just didn't.
Tim Lippe didn't know where his life was going.
I need you to go down to Cedar Rapids and prove Brown Star's a good outfit.
Oh, sweet.
But that was before Cedar Rapids.
Incredible. There's palm trees. The whole place smells like chlorine. It's like I'm in Barbados or somewhere.
This insurance convention is important.
You can count on me.
One thing. Steer clear of Dean Ziegler.
Double stock my mini bar, please. Hey, Ned, getting some honey on your stinger? I love it.
Geronimo! What's the matter, friend? You never seen a chocolate vanilla love sandwich before? This is the party headquarters right here.
Of course, I have my guilty pleasures of antiquing.
Shots, let's do them!
Okay. Cream sherry.
Cream sherry? This one's weird.
You look like R2-D2.
That's not what he sounds like.
I'm having a perfect moment.
Insurance agents get people's lives back on track.
You are a hero. You're a Superman type.
We're gonna be fine!
Just give me your hand, bro. I don't trust people with ponytails.
Ed Helms.
If you want a party, you let me know.
You got it. Party hardy.
I made love to a woman. She's not that pretty, and her mouth tastes like cigarettes.
John C. Reilly.
If you want to survive in this business, you got to dance with the tiger.
How do you make the tiger dance?
You got to show him a little teat.
I don't even want to know.
I'm so bummed out! I'm so bummed out!
Where's Timble?
He's practically my best friend at this point.
You just met him 2 days ago.
You're probably uninsured.
No!
Timble!
Hey! I'm straight up gangster, and I always keeps one in the chamber in case you pondering.
What happened right there?
I looked up and Ronald was talking like a ghetto person.
But I do a pretty convincing Omar from the HBO program The Wire.
I love it!
Cedar Rapids.
What happened?
I got beat up, got completely blotto, and befriended a prostitute. It was awesome.
Someone deserves 2 bags of honey roasted peanuts.
2 bags. Super awesome.
Well, it's February, and this has already been hailed by some as the big independent comedy of the year. I know it was a big hit at Sundance. Joe Shearer, did it live up to expectations?
Yeah, I think so. It was a nice, solid comedy. It wasn't brilliant.
It's not hella bad either.
Neither was. Yeah, there were no big jokes that just completely flopped. Everything was good, at least for a chuckle. A couple of nice heavy laughs. The chocolate vanilla love sandwich was my favorite line going in. And John C. Reilly really follows it up with something that really just takes it up to another level.
Which we can't repeat on the air.
Absolutely not.
Okay. And by the way, I guess the level of humor I was curious about, because apparently you can't say Omar from The Wire.
Yeah.
So you just got to tack it on a little more.
He has to say the HBO. And that's part of his deal. I've never watched The Wire. Chris tells me that Isaiah Whitlock Jr. actually was on The Wire, so that was kind of an in joke that he delivered that line.
Well, there's also that, and the type of humor where you do the joke and then you wind up having to explain the joke, and apparently for some that's even funnier. So just checking.
He is a fan. He says that actually a couple times. He's a fan of the show.
Now Ed Helms, does he carry it? Does he have to carry it?
John C. Reilly does most of the heavy lifting. Ed Helms.
It's good to have when you have. It's good lifting to have when you got John C.
He does a good job of towing that line between being naive and being ridiculously naive and unbelievably naive. I never really believe, don't believe that he's the character he is. He doesn't do something just so incredibly whacked out stupid that I don't buy it. But at the same time, he inches toward the line. So,
okay, because I've read different reviews that have the fine line between genuine and smug.
Yeah,
and speaking of which, how is the film's tone treatment of Cedar Rapids or mid level towns or mid level cities?
It's a joke that he's going to the big city of Cedar Rapids.
Sure,
but they don't highlight the town all that much. They're at the hotel and then they go to some house out in the middle of nowhere. But I think you're just supposed to get that's kind of the joke.
Okay, fair
enough.
So
it's not mean to Cedar Rapids at all.
I was just curious. I have no affiliation with Cedar Rapids or the state of Iowa for that matter.
Actually, a little bit of irony. I saw The Roommate a couple weeks ago where they called Des Moines, Iowa, a small town. So
Lord. Wait a minute. They did not screen The Roommate for the press, so you went to see that on your own?
I paid to see The Roommate.
Oh, my God.
Not necessarily out of choice, but because Sanctum was not starting and I needed something to review for the week.
And you survived?
I escaped with my life, yes.
Bad?
It was pretty rough.
That was hella bad. Kobe, pull up that thing. Our latest gift from your buddy Chris.
Hang on a second.
Okay, all right, but it was. I heard it's like single white female. Dumbed down single white.
Let me say, Leighton Meester was the cutest little psychopath I've ever seen in a movie.
Really? Is that that's a list we got to work on?
Yeah,
cute psychopaths.
She was just adorable,
but not enough.
Not enough to make me believe that she was a psychotic killer.
Great. Hey, do we have it?
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, we inflicted that on him last week.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So okay. Well, wow. You paid to see that. Whoo! I'll say just a few other. The other thing that and I know this opened last week, and I implore you if you've not seen it yet, go, because I checked the paper and it's now at the stage where it's running twice a day. Mm-hmm. But the Oscar nominated animated film The Illusionist from the director of The Triplets of Belleville. And it's a beautifully made, wonderfully simply told, and really heartbreaking story of a magician who is just losing work. It's set in it looks like it's Europe in the late 50s, early 60s, and there's a great moment. It's kind of reminiscent of Mr. Saturday Night, where he's waiting to go on, but the rock band, the kind of, they're not the Beatles, they're not the Dave Clark Five, but that kind of rock band that's making the girls scream out of their heads, and they're doing four or five encores, and this guy can't get on. So it's that kind of end of the, not vaudeville, but concert hall era, and going from, going to where the gig is, to some Scottish coastal community, to a place in France, to a place in England. And it's just beautifully made, simply told. There's no subtitles. There are words and there are phrases and there's a little bit of French, but just you don't need the subtitles to tell this really, really wonderful and sad story. And it was, I will confess, my daughter and I both cried at the same time. So, and then I had to take her to Dave & Buster's. That cheers a child up. And a grown up too, for that matter. So, and this is one I would pick. I am picking this to win Best Picture or Best Foreign Animated Film. Mm-hmm. I know it won't.
Yeah.
But it's one of those. We've had those in the last few years of, well, we know Mr. Fox should win, but it yeah, but it won't. So anyway, that's that's with the with it this year. Mm-hmm. Also opening in theaters today, I Am Number 4.
Didn't see it.
That's okay. And yeah, that's quite
I from what I hear, I'm not missing much.
No, you're not. And tonight there's two more with the IMA Film Noir, the Winter Film Series. It's Film Noir. Tonight is the 1945 noir film Detour with Ann Savage and Tom Neill for you fans of the Hitchcock film Rope. Mm-hmm. No, that's not. That's the dude from Gun Crazy. No. Not sorry. But it's a woman who cons a schlub of a guy into posing as a kind of a high roller. And, of course, in film noir world, things go terribly, terribly wrong. But it's a really cool, beautifully shot black and white film from the mid-40s worth checking out. Yeah. All right. And, of course, C-Rex 3D at the IMAX Theater. And, yeah, so that's those are all available for you. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about what's new on DVD and Blu-ray, and we might have an update on what is Kobe watching, and then maybe we'll talk about sequels, and then maybe Joe and I will brag about what we've made our kids watch. Not you, Kobe. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I could do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store!
And a video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Joe Shearer of the Film Yap is hanging out with us. Kobe Slagle's over there doing God knows what. And we got some DVD and Blu-ray titles to get for you to talk about this week. And I should have asked this off the air. Waiting for Superman?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about something that we both – well, there's two that we both saw, and then there's one I didn't see. And, and don't worry about the trailer. We'll just move on. But the but apparently one of the big shocks of the Oscar season was this documentary not getting nominated for Best Documentary. And it's Waiting for Superman. And, of course, this is from the director of An Inconvenient Truth. And it's kind of a – I would call it an NSD, which I can't really reveal. It's kind of a no-bleep documentary. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Public education's in bad shape. That's pretty much the gist of the film. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, I think it's in the same category as, say, even to a degree, Sicko, mm-hmm. and Capitalism, A Love Story, An Inside Job, where, yeah, we know, give us something new.
Yeah.
And we get to see the stories of kids trying to get into school. I mean, good kids trying to get into good schools, even though some of them are stuck in bad schools, and what the parents would go through it. Mm-hmm. You know, from a parent standpoint, the most the most gripping part is the lottery to get your kid into a school, and it all relies on something that your grandma's bingo game at the local basement church.
Yep.
So that's, for a lot of kids, that's where their future of education lies. And of course, there's a song by John Legend and a list of things that you can go to on their websites and check out. So am I missing anything here, Joe?
I think that's about it. It's a whole lot of,
Hopefully you know this by now, I should say.
Yeah.
If you're just watching Waiting for Superman and going, oh my God, we can't help you.
What a shock.
Yeah. Like, you know, capitalism. Like, oh my God, finances are in the toilet. Yeah, it's been that way.
Yeah.
So, sad to say. Yeah. I mean, well done and well intended, but nothing really new over here.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what we can do to fix it, and you know, or at least make things a little bit better.
Yes.
You know,
And go to the websites and pay more teachers. So I guess take that for what it is.
And rent this movie.
Rent this movie, because it's the most important rental of your life. Okay. Also opening is the latest Tony Scott action film, Unstoppable, with Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. Yes, the kid from Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inspired by a true story. Folks, we don't care.
Yeah.
We don't care if it's based. We don't care if it's inspired. We don't care if it's loosely based. Just tell a good story. And then if you tell us later it's a true story, bully for you.
Yeah.
But this is the Denzel and the white kid stop a runaway train movie, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Tony Scott, for me, is a real hit and miss director. There are some of his films I really, really enjoy, and then there's Domino and and some others. And, I mean, he is probably for lack of a better comparison, he's like the ADD little brother of course, Ridley Scott, where it's a lot of flashy action going on. And there is quite a bit of good action in this film.
Yeah.
You know, Denzel and Chris Pine are reliable. I wish all moderators in the rail company looked like Rosario Dawson. But and thankfully short. I think it's like an hour 40.
Yeah.
This could have easily been 2 hours plus because of the action, and thankfully it is not. Mm-hmm. So overall, a good action film, a good rental. But Joe Shearer, I'm setting you up because there is something, and I guess I will ask if you agree, and then there was something about the film that really bugs you, and it tickles me that it bugs you.
I've talked about this with a lot of our other film yappers, and we have come up with a name for the egregious epilogue edict. That's actually courtesy of Nick Rogers.
Triple E, nice.
Yes.
It sounds like a wrestler.
Yeah, and it's basically saying that any movie that's not really truly based on a true story.
And we already ranted about it.
Yeah, we already kind of went over that. You can't do the freeze frame thing and say, this is what the character is doing now at the very end of the film.
You can't.
Yeah, you can at least not.
Or not
at least not maintaining any kind of credibility.
But in the case, it's definitely with Unstoppable, not this film.
Yeah, there was no. I don't. You know, it was all played for a cheap joke, and it was the big example of that was Unbreakable, the M. Night Shyamalan film from several years back, where they abruptly end the film and pop that up at the bottom. This is what happened.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah.
Why are you telling me? Why don't you show me what happened? Or, you know, if it's not important enough to show me what happened, I don't care.
I'll think of something like Miracle, mm-hmm. where they tell you what has happened to the entire squad.
Yeah.
Now, mm-hmm. does that fit into that?
Well, it's based on a true story. So it's, you know, you can fit, you know, if these are real people we're going to care about and we want to know that.
And if it's a completely fictional film, then it's.
Yeah, with very few exceptions, there are certain comedies, Animal House, for example, that can get away with it.
And of course, this is over 30 years ago, and they were doing a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's there's a few films that can get away from it or get away with it. 90% of the time, it's bad, and it's kind of like the when they just throw the abrupt dance sequence in at the end of a movie.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah,
that's
awful. But I do agree with you. Unstoppable, for the most part, was nice, solid, workmanlike, entertaining film. I showed my oldest son; he liked it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
I need to see your son in a movie again. Last time was Prince of Persia.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to bounce everywhere. Leap from sand building to sand building.
I took all three of them to Romeo and Juliet, and my wife showed up about 10 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Why? What happened?
Well, three of them, the youngest being 2 years old, it was hard to control. Yeah.
Well, now you know.
Yeah. You know, Richard, our friend Richard Probst was there to distract one of them.
You got
to
try. I mean, it's as a parent, there is no regimental age. I mean, no. Emma was four, and just, you know, you have to have a backup plan, and you have to have an escape plan, because you don't want to sit there while the kid wails for an hour. Don't be that person.
Yeah.
So, you know, as long as you have those plans.
Oh yeah, yeah, and all of my kids were. Less than a year old at their first experience. None of them have really had the outbursts like that.
Now, that being said, I guess we should also, since we already playfully threw him under the bus once, Chris Lloyd has us all beat.
Yeah, he does. He did, even me. So, yeah.
You know what? Tell us if you see us on the street. Ask us. We won't embarrass him anymore now. And we love Chris and his.
That was more out of necessity than anything.
It truly was. So anyway, we'll move on. You know, my issue is you bring up the Triple E. For me, it is seeing the actual person at the end of the biopic.
Oh yeah.
I don't need that. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. I know it's Tina Turner. I know it's Ray Charles. I know it's fill in the blank. Yeah. So
they did that in The Fighter.
Yeah, that, and I didn't really need that either. Mm-hmm. It's called acting.
Yeah,
you know, if you want to make a documentary, I'm sure there's a documentary about those guys.
There you go.
And he's also wiry as F.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we'll move on from there. Also on DVD this week, and I actually checked this out. It's the latest Woody Allen film. You Will Meet a Tall Dark Stranger. And yes, this is one of Woody's travel pieces. He's in London again, and this is with Naomi Watts, and she has parents who have split up. Her dad's played by Anthony Hopkins, who goes for a much, much younger woman. That's never been addressed in a Woody Allen film. And she's married to Josh Brolin, who has feelings for the woman across the building. And meanwhile, while that's happening, Naomi Watts has certain feelings for her boss, played by Antonio Banderas. Don't you wish all art curators look like Antonio Banderas? So I'm a big Woody Allen defender and at times apologist. And that being said, it's really well, obviously it's always well shot. It's always well acted. He can still to this day get a really good cast around him. You know, especially Hopkins play, and I could, you know, it's fun to see Hopkins do it, I guess, as opposed to Woody Allen playing a guy who's dating somebody a third of his age and him having to resort to blue pills and working, and he's still working out and trying to maintain. And then after, once the bloom is off the rose and they realize they have nothing to talk about, these are subject matters that have been addressed in other Allen films, younger man or younger woman, older man, having feelings for people, other people, will they stick? Will they or won't they? Mm-hmm. And the mother, Naomi Watts' mother, this character is really into a psychic. In fact, lives by it. So there's little elements of Alice for those who are old enough to remember Alice or New York Stories. So it's kind of reheated Woody Allen. Well, you know, if you want to kill 90 minutes and see some good acting, that's fine. But there's nothing groundbreaking with this film. So take that. All right. Also on Blu-ray this week, because we have to get all the old titles out on Blu-ray. I'll throw these out and see if there's any reaction from you one way or another. Mm-hmm. Chaplin.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember really liking Downey.
Yeah.
Really like Robert Downey Jr. It was his first Oscar nomination and kind of standard biopic.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And I guess just in time for the post-death mortem of Maria Schneider, Last Tango in Paris with her and Marlon Brando. Mm-hmm. Bring your butter. I'm not making you watch that, Kobe. No, I can't even get my wife to watch that. And that's really okay. Yeah. Much older man, a widower having illicit sex with a much younger woman, directed by Bernardo Bertolucci from 1973.
Yeah.
Moonstruck.
Yeah.
Wow, these aren't ringing your bells,
not,
man.
Not a huge fan of Cher. Good
secretly,
movie.
Joe was saying, yeah, that's a movie.
I have heard of that film.
It is a motion picture. Yep, Cher got Best Actress for this, 1987. You know what? I've ranted about the psychotic romantic comedies. This is not one of them. Mm-hmm. This is, I mean, a really good cast. Olivia Dukakis won Best Supporting Actress. This was Nick Cage in his tolerable days, mm-hmm. Danny Aiello and John Mahoney mm-hmm. and Vincent Gardenia and all the dogs and the music. It's a very sweet romantic comedy mm-hmm. set in the heavy Italian section of New York City yeah. of a woman who's engaged but winds up being with another man played by Cage. So good, solid. Not Best Picture material,
yeah.
and it's okay because it didn't win, but that's up. Now, Network.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant, yes. brilliant cool. film, which one of the early stages of what is Kobe watching, yep. mm-hmm. 1977, still holds up more relevant oh, today than ever. Yep. So, yeah, that's definitely worth checking out on Blu-ray. In fact, we're gonna sidestep for just a little bit. This week's issue of The Onion... Well, it's online, whatever. But this week, their issue was One Scene Wonders. Okay. And here, some of the examples they give, of course, are Alec Baldwin and Glenn Ross. Mm-hmm. And they brought up Ned Beatty and Beatrice Straight in Network. Of course, Beatrice Straight won the Oscar for a five-minute battle royal, her just leashing fury on William Holden. Mm-hmm. And then Alfred Molina in Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
Any Absolutely. Others come to mind? I immediately thought of Frances McDormand in Lone Star.
Yeah, yeah.
Playing Chris Cooper's ex-wife.
Yeah, you posed that question on your Facebook.
Yeah, and, you put something on
there. Yeah,
you?
I put a couple on there. I don't remember what it was. I know someone did mention Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction.
Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction. Yeah, he has that great monologue. Kobe, you going to get on the Facebook and check my answers?
Get on the Facebook. Yeah, tell me what I said.
Somebody else I know mentioned, and I guess this seemed like more of a cameo than a one scene, but Jack Nicholson in Broadcast News, yeah. which is also on Blu-ray, by the way, and I highly recommend that.
I did mention the Scott Pilgrim cameo with Thomas Jane was one of them, but I had a
Thomas Jane and Clifton Collins yeah. Jr. You got to mention those two guys.
Yep.
And so, yeah, we'll check on those while Kobe's checking my answers there for a little bit. Also on Blu-ray, Rain Man.
Oh, yeah.
Best picture from 1988.
Mm-hmm.
That was back when I thought Tom Cruise could only act in films where somebody is acting better than he is, like Dustin Hoffman mm-hmm. and Paul Newman. But it's a good film. Good
yeah.
film.
Oh, yeah. Love Rain Man.
And, another one I should make you watch, Kobe, on Blu-ray, All the President's Men.
Oh, yeah.
You don't.
I don't know.
You don't know that one? Robert Redford and Dustin Hoffman as Woodward and Bernstein, yeah. Uncovering Watergate, Jason Robards won
yes.
an Oscar as
yes.
Ben Bradley.
Yes, I have seen that.
You have seen
yes,
that?
Yes, I have seen that.
I didn't give it to you.
No, I think, when did we watch it?
He accidentally watched that one.
I saw a movie once.
We'll get to that in a little bit. But no, and this was the film that launched millions, a legion of journalism students back in yeah. 1975. So, and we wish all reporters looked like Robert Redford back in 1975. Mm-hmm. So take yeah. that.
All right, you ready for this?
All right, yeah, I'm ready. Who else did we have there?
Thomas Jane and Clifton Collins Jr. and Scott Pilgrim.
We mentioned that.
And Bill Murray in Zombieland.
Oh, that is a good one. That is there good. What else is out there on the list? You don't have to acknowledge names.
Walken, Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
Marshall McLuhan and Annie Hall.
Annie Hall. Yeah. That's and actually Walken has one scene in that as well.
The Foley editing guy in Modern Romance.
Was that Lou Harry?
Holly Hunter and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, technically.
She had more than a scene, though.
I think she had, no, you're right. I think she had one at the beginning, one at the end.
She came in halfway through when, because he goes to meet her, you know, she's Penny, she's,
the wife.
Yeah, she's the wife, and she has a couple of scenes.
Married to a dapper Dan man.
Yeah.
You got any others up there?
Cruise in Tropic Thunder. Sam Elliott and Big Lebowski.
He had more than one scene. Well,
no, Sam Elliott had one.
He had the voiceover and the one scene.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that doesn't count.
Yeah,
I get it's my show. We could say that.
Yeah.
Anything else on there? Oh, way to draw it out, Kobe.
Come up with your own and send them in.
That's true. And then actually, while
we're on the Facebook,
we are on the Facebook. Yeah. While you're chatting, go over to The Onion and hit the One Scene Wonders clip, but don't play the clip. Don't play the audio because it's Alec Baldwin and Glenn Gary
Glenn
Ross.
Don't do that.
You can't play that.
By the way, drop the it's cleaner.
You haven't seen it, so you don't know.
Oh,
thank you, Justin. I like that. That was cool. Now click on the headline.
What?
Oh, for crying out loud.
I'm doing this. You keep talking.
It's the I'm sitting on the computer show.
Yeah, pretty. What is Kobe surfing is what it is.
Usually at this point, it's old chicks.
Not old chicks. First off, older women. Secondly, the women from a different era.
Not yet.
Let's, don't yeah, yeah.
That's don't, very disrespectful.
That is very disrespectful. Can't you find it?
No.
All right, well, let's take a break, and then I'll fix it for you. You learn. My God, you're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI, HD to the point, WFYI.org.
Not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yeah, guests. People. We've got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Hello, Joe Shearer.
Speaking of.
Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Joe Shearer from the Film Yap is hanging out with me. What's going on at the Yap this week?
Oh, we have lots, of course. I just completed the Cinema Smackdown, the Cinema Smackdown.
Uh-oh, is the ultimate Cinema Smackdown? I'm ready.
Schwarzenegger versus Stallone for...
What year? or overall?
Overall.
Boy, absolutely. this is like Hogan versus Flair.
Yeah, absolutely. it's funny, as I was doing it, it ended up being not quite as close as I thought it would be. Schwarzenegger has a lot more diversity in, as far as the characters he plays. Stallone really has done.
I think Schwarzenegger's comedies were funnier.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So, because they both had similar paths. Mm-hmm. Although, I to give Sly credit, he's had more years.
Yeah.
So he has an extra decade on top of that. Because Europe and Asia kept those guys getting business in the 90s.
Oh yeah.
So. Wow, so what was it, like 75-25, you think?
It was close in the end. I gave, Stallone got a few got his shots in.
But, okay.
It's Schwarzenegger, I think, for me. So if you disagree, go to thefilmyap.com and check it out and tell me why I'm wrong.
And apparently Schwartz is trying to get back into movies. Arnold's trying to get back now
and
that his
right away the rumor is another Terminator with him.
Of course, they're going to say that.
Done with Justin Lin, who did the most recent Fast and the Furious.
And
film.
Tomorrow Never Dies. Better Day Tomorrow.
Yeah,
which
is
actually a good film. Yeah. So, yeah, we'll poster, trailer.
Let's hold our breath on that. Yeah,
let's not do that at all. Yeah. Kobe Slagle's over there. Not checking out old chicks.
Nope.
My gosh.
I think they prefer cougars as well.
Well, see, Catherine Deneuve, Claudia Cardinale. Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
All right, so we were talking about actually, I was showing Kobe how to go through the AV club on The Onion of one scene wonders. And we talked about a few of those. Are there any suggestions on there that you can read to us on the air?
I'm cruising through here and I'm not seeing a whole lot.
All right. Well, let's shift gears for a little bit. That's quite okay.
Allow us to shift gears.
We will shift gears. That's fine. Something that's been happening around the station lately is I recently watched again Encounters at the End of the World, which is a really wonderful documentary from Werner Herzog, the man who's given us everything from Aguirre, Wrath of God, Fitzcarraldo, My Best Fiend, September Dawn, not September Dawn, Rescue Dawn. Dawn. September Dawn's a bad movie. And the most recent, Bad Lieutenant with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yes.
And then I saw him being interviewed last week on one of the cable channels. And for those who don't know, he has a very kind of calm, soothing, just the right hint of menace in his in his voice. And he does a lot of voiceover work in his documentaries, a lot of narration. And somebody, and we thank the basement dweller who created this, so we didn't have to, but somebody has imitated Werner Herzog reading some children's classics, including Madeline, Winnie the Pooh, Where's Waldo, and this little nugget, because it's an FYI show. Here is Werner Herzog reading Curious George.
This is George. He lived in an obscene, overwhelming jungle where murder is the norm, and although he could not help it, he was a murderer too. Still, he was a good little monkey, and always very curious. One day, an intruder from society appeared in the jungle. What a nice little monkey, he thought. I would like to take him home with me. He put his hat on the ground, and George is lured out of hiding by the hat, an alien trinket of unimaginable cultural significance. George quickly learns a hard lesson about desire, as his adventure with the hat leads to his immediate captivity. Later, aboard a big ship, the man in the yellow hat explained to George about the big zoo in the big city where he was taking the monkey, and he promised him that he would like it there. Now don't get into trouble, said the man. George promised to be good, but it is easy for little monkeys to forget. On the deck he found some seagulls. He was not unfamiliar with birds, but overwhelmed by the newness of the experience, George attempted to fly like the birds he saw, with predictably disastrous results. Nothing in the brutal primeval jungle could prepare George for the terrible, vast uncaringness of the sea. Upon being rescued and pulled to the boat, a veritable school of fish issued forth from his lungs, as if even the fishes longed for something smaller and more manageable than the oceans. Even a little monkey's lungs seemed safer and more homey. Finally, they arrived in the big city. In the city, George puts on airs, trying to live like a man, but he is rendered a buffoon.
You kind of get the idea.
I think so.
Also something to share with your children. And yeah. Mort Werner Herzog, for that matter.
Yeah.
No, I will say this. Encounters at the End of the World, I don't know if kids are going to enjoy the interviews, but the visuals are really, really cool, especially the underwater shots in Antarctica. Okay.
Bad Lieutenant, not so much.
No, not Bad Lieutenant, not Iguanacam. And you know what? Neither Bad Lieutenant is not kid fodder at all. All right. We also pay tribute here. We also do celebrity obits and even better obscure obits, people you don't know or maybe you should know or else you've seen their work. Actor Kenneth Mars passed away. He was, I think, 76, 75. And as we went through his career, I mean, really, up until a couple of years ago, never stopped working. And especially in did a lot of voiceover work in kids shows over the years. I know he was Grandpa Longneck in the Land Before Time series, and did a lot of TV. I know it was Dr. Rollins in Citizen Ruth, and was Ariel's dad in The Little Mermaid. I know he also Triton. He was also in Shadows and Fog, the Woody Allen film. He was also in Radio Days playing the Rabbi, but Fletch, Protocol, Yellowbeard, and but most notably, he played Inspector Kemp in Young Frankenstein. That's the one-eyed man with the monocle and the fake arm. Not since Dr. Strangelove has there been a comedic brilliance used with a fake arm. Mm-hmm. Also did dramas. I think a lot of people remember him as a comedy. He did the Gene Hackman film Night Moves, the Warren Beatty film The Parallax View. Played a marshal in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, was in the April Fools, but he was also one of the guys in the screwball comedy What's Up, Doc, played by Peter Bogdanovich, directed that one. And he was Franz Liebkin, who was the Nazi playwright in the film version of the producers. No, not the Will Ferrell one. And by the way, Will Ferrell's not the voice of the man with the yellow hat either. Love the movie. Don't like that. So anyway, here is a scene with Zero Mostel, Gene Wilder, and late Kenneth Mars in a scene from the 1968 comedy The Producers.
And Lincoln, I was never a member of the Nazi Party. I'm not responsible. I only followed orders. Who are you? Why do you persecute me? My papers are in order. I love my adopted country. Oh, beautiful, pure species, guys. Pure amber wave song. What do you want?
Relax, relax, Mr. Leakin. We're not from the government. We came here to talk about your play.
My play? You mean Springtime Film? You know who?
Yes.
What about it?
We love it. We think it's a masterpiece. That's why we're here. We wish to produce it on Broadway.
Broadway. Oh, oh, joy of joys. Oh, dream of dreams. I can't believe it. I must tell the birds. Birds! 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 Do you hear? Oh, no. Birds and hands. Hans Wilkamp. Do you hear? We are going to clear the Führer's name.
Deutschland, Deutschland. Über alles, über alles.
Mr. Liebkin, Mr. Liebkin, please. People can hear.
I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. A Yankee Doodle. This is not a place to talk. Come, we'll go to my flat. An occasion like this calls for schnapps. Many people knew it. That the Führer was a terrific dancer.
Really, I never dreamed that.
That is because that you were kidnapped by it for Winter Allied propaganda.
Such filthy lies they told lies.
But nobody ever said a bad word about Winston Churchill, did they? No, when was funny? Churchill. This is cigars. Look, it's plenty. And it's rotten painting. Rotten! Hitler, there was a painter. He could paint an entire apartment in one afternoon, two coats!
Churchill.
They couldn't even say Nazi. He would say, Nazis! Nazis!
He was a Nazi! He was Nazis! Churchill!
Exactly why...
Let me tell you this! And you're hearing this straight from the horse! Hitler was better looking than Churchill. He was a better dresser than Churchill. He had more hair. He told funnier jokes than he could dance the pants off of Churchill.
Exactly why...
Churchill!
Yes, Churchill. That's exactly why we want to produce this play. To show the world the true Hitler. The Hitler you loved, the Hitler you knew, the Hitler with a song in his heart. Dear Brunswick, you can sign here. And make your dream a reality.
Thank you, Kenneth Mars. That's Kenneth Mars screaming at Zero Mostel. Well, he wasn't really screaming at them, but Zero Mostel and Gene Wilder from the 1968 comedy The Producers, which won Best Screenplay that year, and introduced the world to Ula. Thank you very much. Another film person that passed away, film producer David F. Friedman, passed recently. And, well, I can't play. He was 87. I don't think I can play clips from any of his movies. Nah. Just bear with me on this one. Some of these we've heard of in film lore. And I've seen clips of some and not full clips of others. And you'll understand why when we get through these. And I'm not even going to look at you, Kobe. I know you haven't seen any of these. And that's really okay. But, such films. He started out in the mid-60s producing such films as The Defilers, The Brick Dollhouse, The Casting Director, The long, swift sword of Siegfried.
Oh.
But Charlie, I never played volleyball.
No.
Cannibal Island. Oh, he was a director. Those are the five films he directed. Uh-huh. He was also producer of Cannibal Island, Blood Feast. That's one of the first Herschel Gordon Lewis films. Goldilocks and the Three Bears, B-A-R-E-S, from 1963. He also produced 2000 Maniacs, another Lewis masterpiece. She Freak, not Le Chic. New Django from 1968. Now, point of reference, Django was a Sergio Carbucci Italian Western that Emma actually does want to see. And because of the success of that film, this was Franco Nero. Franco Nero played the title role. A slew of Django knockoffs and ripoffs happened, including apparently New Django from 1968. this was reminiscent of when Bruce Lee hit it big, and then there were a thousand kung fu movies, and it was Bruce Lee, but it was spelled differently, L-E-I and L-E and, you know, L-I-E-U and all the bad spellings on that. Let's see, what else did he direct? The Erotic Adventure of Zorro. That's sexploitation. Uh-huh. That's a documentary, by the way, just so, you know, don't want any confusion there.
Sure.
And the other one he's known for in the cult film world, Ilsa, She-Wolf of the SS from 1975, later parodied in Grindhouse, the Rob Zombie directed trailer of that one. And then most recently, I know Robert Englund was involved in both of these. He was executive producer on 2001 Maniacs and 2001 Maniacs Field of Screams.
Because 2,000 are not enough maniacs.
Apparently not enough. Well, you had to differentiate from 2,000. Uh-huh. You know, this is that was 1964. This is 2005. Yeah. And the other note I learned, and this was also fairly common practice back in the 60s, was apparently he had distributed Ingmar Bergman's film Monica, which is a pretty good film in and of itself, but he renamed it Monica, the Story of a Bad Girl, and apparently inserted footage from several nudist colony films add spice to the film itself. Now, Kobe, a little point of reference history. Don't ask me why I know this. College. a lot of European films would come to the United States, and they would try to have sort of a storyline, and then there'd just be minutes and minutes of just nude people, naked people. Another just weird example of that was Caligula. From 1980, I believe, in which had Malcolm McDowell and then Helen Mirren, John Gielgud, Peter O'Toole, legit actors. And then what they didn't realize, the film was produced by Bob Guccione Jr., who didn't tell the actors that. And then as they're doing a scene, they filmed all the actors, and then they just kind of edited in scenes of orgies.
Yeah.
So Malcolm McDowell saying, I was in mid monologue, and next thing I know, I see two people doing unspeakable things. whoa, when did you shoot that? So, anyway, David Friedman, thank you for your work, some of which I've seen, and some of which I'm not going to make you see, sir. That's quite all right. So
should see Blood Feast at least.
Blood Feast. I mean, these were the splatter films of the '60s, and this was for its time, pretty graphic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of bloodshed, a lot of fake bloodness. Gore Gore Girls is another one that I've seen before, and there was nothing like it for its time, and I don't think it gets a lot of credit. I know a lot of the slasher films of the '70s get all the glory, but yeah, there's some for inexpensive films that really made a lot of money, and in one of these cases, hopefully it all went in the right place.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are worth checking out. So
Color Me Blood Red, if you want the schlock value too, is fantastic.
So you're writing these down, right?
Herschel Gordon Lewis, yeah.
Herschel Gordon Lewis, yeah.
Jason Bateman was right in Juno, by the way.
He was right about that. So so speaking of which, since we've been berating my engineer all day, I think it's time for his segment.
Here we are.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe watching?
Well, no, he's not watching gory, nudie films from the 60s. I wouldn't ask him to do that. He can do that on his own if he wants. But
I would ask him to do that.
Oh, you would ask him? Fine.
Sure.
This is going to be like Piranha. When
Wait, which Chris, one?
Piranha. Remember when Chris was like, oh, yeah, watch Piranha 3D because Joe told me.
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with you, man? You know what? Because, yeah, he had Raging Bull on Blu-ray, and you told him to watch Piranha? Shame on you. Shame on you, sir.
That.
You don't remember? Should we play the tape back for him?
I didn't say that. I categorically deny ever saying that.
Joe, do you not want to talk about the past?
Yeah, we're not here to talk about that. And apparently some of that organization are not here to talk about the future either.
Yeah, wow. Well, it's all right. I'm working on the Miguel Carrera Defense Fund.
Uh-huh.
Oh, spring training hasn't even officially started and off to a bad start. All right. Last week, Kobe got his first introduction to John Woo Hong Kong action movies with Hard Boiled.
Yep.
Sir, your thoughts?
I loved everything about it. You put the thing in, and subtitles start rolling up, and I'm thinking, oh, God. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have a problem with this, but I'm going to muscle through it, and I'm going to, you know, it's not going to be so bad. I'm just going to have to pay a lot more attention.
Yes.
But there wasn't a lot of subtitles between all the gunfire. There was not. There were not a lot of that. No, there was not.
They were there. You just couldn't see it from all the muzzle flash.
But it was awesome. It was like watching a live-action video game with, like, an unlimited ammo cheat enabled. It was so cool.
See, I'm glad to know I made you about 10 years younger from watching that film immediately. And it is one of the best Hong Kong action films. I mean, I might bring you The Killer another time because that's just as cool. You know, but yeah, I think of the single tracking shot where Chow Yun-Fat and his partner and his sidekick are running through the hospital, and they go from one floor, get into an elevator, blast a bunch of people on another floor, and then get into another elevator, go back up. I mean, it's just really, really.
Yeah,
cool.
there were a lot of great shots, a lot of great camera moves, and visually very.
Wu was really good. I wish he could do that here. I mean, he did it with Face Off, and then it's kind of tapered. Now he's back overseas, because I really liked Red Cliff. I thought it was cool that he made a period action film that was not a video. And yes, for once, it is okay to say that this film is a video game.
Yeah.
So now I know this week, because of that,
I've got In the Loop. I've still got Goldfinger from last week.
Oh, yeah.
I still have the original Longest Yard.
So you're set.
Yeah.
You're set. Now that you've seen Mark Broussard, you can concentrate your focus on other things.
That took up a lot of time.
I'm sure it did.
Yeah.
So yeah, the original Longest Yard, In the Loop, one of the funniest films I've seen in recent memory, and yeah, Goldfinger. So you'll enjoy those.
Awesome.
And give my best to your dad and your mom. So I'm sorry, she can watch those too if she wants. Because I know you watch those with your actual dad.
Yeah. Yes.
It happened, folks. We've joked about this for a while, and just. Little boy, Kobe and I pretend to be super cops, and apparently some people think we're more like father and son. and it was jokingly brought up after we went to Bloomington, but we go to Sun King quite often after the show, and a female pourer recognized Kobe and went, "Hey, aren't you usually here with your dad?" So thank you, you whippersnappers. Wow. All right, you got three films, so get cracking on those. Well. We often cite The Onion as a news source here at Film Sociology, and I, of course, cite the AV Club because that's where the real articles are. And there was an article this week, and this is what you and I and the rest of the film, the doughy white guys and Gina, get to look forward to. Headline, all-time record number of sequels coming out in 2011.
Yeah.
So, I'll just go through this list. It'll go straight to the very end.
Yep.
Yeah, Cars 2... Sequels to Cars, Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roddick, Hangover, Happy Feet, Hoodwinked, Johnny English? Wow, Kung Fu Panda, Piranha, Sherlock Holmes, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Big Mama, Medea, Paranormal Activity, Transformers, Mission Impossible, Pirates of the Caribbean, Scream, Spy Kids, Twilight... Fast Five, Final Destination Five, Puss in Boots, because he's going to get his own picture,
great.
X-Men, Winnie the Pooh, Muppets, Rise of the Apes, that sounds like a movie Mr. Friedman might have produced, Harry Potter, and of course, wow, it's going to be a long 2011, boy.
That's a lot of pointless sequels.
Yep. So, but here's some actual poignant words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz,
has spoken.
Joe Shearer, the Film Yap, I guess I'll be seeing you at a sequel very soon.
Yes, I guess. Think so.
On behalf of Kobe Slagle, I'm Matthew Soucy. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. Next week, the Oscar picks. Remember, these are for entertainment purposes only. Don't gamble on these. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.